We all have our favorite recipes for dinner, but let's say you have to retool them for a friend who's vegan, or a dinner party, or you need to make it fast. You might not know where to start. That's where our next guest's latest cookbook comes in. He has new takes on some old dinner standards with three variations on each one. Mark Bittman is the author of 21 books and the former lead food writer for the New York Times Sunday Magazine. His latest cookbook is called Dinner for Everyone, 100 Iconic Dishes Made Three Ways, Easy, Vegan, and Perfect for Company. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, Rob. Great to be here.
Well, you say in your introduction, I'm going to quote here, "I want cooking dinner at home to make you happy." Is that something that we're losing sometimes when we're cooking?
You know, I'm glad I said that. That speaks especially, I think, to the third of this mix, the cooking for company. One of the things that this book was written with three underlying principles. One is that everybody wants to cook faster, easier, et cetera, et cetera. The second is that most everybody will confess that they need more plants in their diet. And the third is that we know that we love to cook for other people. They love it when we cook for them. And I think that does make us happy. And I think there are things about it that make us nervous and that concern us and so on. But when we cook for people we love, they love us for it. And that's a win-win all around.
And I think a lot of us have our go-to meals when we have to cook on a deadline. You know, in 20, 30 minutes, we want food on the table after work. We might have our go-to fancy meals when people come over. You're hoping to kind of, I think, broaden our repertoire. And I'm excited about this. I get tired of making the same stuff. Make the case that, you know, the recipes in your book are going to help us expand our cooking palate a little bit.
We learn, just like anything else, we learn habits when we're young, and some of us are reluctant to change them. I think if you give people recipes that work and they sound appealing and, in fact, they taste great, they will integrate them into their repertoire. It doesn't mean that, you know, this is a book with 100 recipes and or 300 recipes. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to cook every one, but my hope is that people will find things that they like and then look to the variations to do them in different ways.
And you have a lot of variety in this book, but like you say, each one of them has the easy version. And I'm looking at cooking times, mostly in the 20 to 30 minute range. How did you tackle these to have something that we're going to like? It's going to taste good. It's going to represent that kind of food, but that quickly.
Well, Rob, the fast, easy stuff is my wheelhouse. I mean, you probably know I wrote a quick cooking column for the Times you probably don't know, but I did it for 13 years.
I think we've talked to you about quick and easy cooking some years back.
I think we have, yeah. So, you know, that stuff is really, I mean, bread and butter is terrible. It's really in my wheelhouse. It's the plant-based stuff that was hard for me to create. And this book took probably 3 years to do, and I think, which means it's 4 years since I started it. And that's because making plant-based recipes that are really appealing to people as dinner dishes, not as snacks or lunch or whatever, that's not easy. And also the spirit of Dinner for Everyone is that each of these three variations is in the same spirit. It's not, you know, I'm making chicken parmesan and then I'm going to make chicken parmesan with fake chicken. And so the two recipes are, you know, the plant-based one is really the same as the meat-based one, except with fake meat. It's really like, what is the spirit of this dish? And how can we make it plant-based without losing its soul, but without starting to introduce a bunch of weird ingredients?
Talking to Mark Bittman about his new cookbook, Dinner for Everyone. He's got 100 different dishes, but three approaches to them. The easy way, a vegan way, and then a perfect for company way, a little fancier. You've shared a couple of the recipes, actually a couple sets of recipes, I should say. We've got them at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's tackle, Mark, the whole enchilada. First, the easy version, your cheese enchiladas.
You know, you're starting with pre-made flour tortillas that you buy in the store. You're starting with grated cheese, and you're making the kind of know, you're making enchiladas. I don't know what to say. They're fast. They're easy. They're pretty straightforward.
I like about that, though, Mark, is, you know, we've got those tortillas. We've got the pre-grated cheese, which I'll do when I know I'm going to be in a hurry. You're absolving us, I think, of some of the guilt we might feel that we're not doing every single step by hand when we're doing it the easy way.
Well, the time we have on here is 30 minutes, and I like to believe that's not an exaggeration. So, you know, given that it includes baking the enchiladas, that's pretty fast.
That is.
So that's like 15-minute prep time. So if you buy pre-grated cheese, yep, even a little bit faster probably.
And now the vegan version, and this looks good, and it's tough to do enchiladas without, you know, dairy-style cheese. You've got a sweet potato and corn enchilada with guacamole, I think, for some of that creaminess. Talk about what went into this one to make an awesome vegan enchilada.
Well, that's exactly what I, you know, was talking about before, is that, you know, we could use vegan sour cream and we could use vegan cheese for that matter. But the, you know, what is enchilada? It's a tortilla stuffed with good stuff and baked with creamy stuff. And there's no reason to start resorting to faux foods. So what we have here is a similar sauce, and it's tomato sauce. And we have a stuffing of sweet potatoes and corn. So you've got sort of creaminess and a little bit of crunch. And then, as you say, the sauce, the final sauce, is really a form of guacamole.
And I'm looking at this particular vegan recipe in your book and a lot of the others. These aren't things that non-vegans are going to look at as a chore. They're not going to be disappointed. These are on their own terms, good meals, it sounds like to me.
Well, that was the challenge. And I don't, you know, when you introduced this, and I'm not taking issue with it at all because you're right, but when you introduced me, you said, if you need to make accommodations for vegan guests, those recipes are here. And of course, that's true. But the idea is really to say to more of us than vegans, those of us who are not vegans but know that we need to be eating more plant-based food more often, here are good options for those of us who are omnivores or flexitarians or part-time vegans or whatever you want to call it, just people who eat regularly but know that we should be eating more plant-based meals. Here are options that are really going to appeal to you.
All right, now let's ramp it up to our crowd pleaser of the enchilada set, the chicken enchiladas verde. This one, we'll start with the whole chicken on this guy, Mark.
Yeah, and we're making the chicken sort of extra delicious by cooking it first. We're using more of everything, more spice, more onion, more seasoning, and we're frying the tortillas, which of course takes some time. You know, this, and we're using corn rather than flour tortillas, which in my opinion are better. This is an instance where the blowout version is not all that different from the fast version. It's just kind of better. takes twice as long, really.
We're talking to Mark Bittman about his new cookbook, Dinner for Everyone, 100 Iconic Dishes Made Three Ways, Easy, Vegan, and Perfect for Company. He's with us for this week's edition of Food Friday. We have some recipes from him at WPR.org/Food Friday, including that trio of enchiladas we just talked about. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite recipe when you need to make something fast? Maybe you just got home from work and you want to get food on the table in 20, 30 minutes. What do you go to then? Or you got a little more time on your hands. Maybe company's coming. What's your favorite fancier meal to make? A crowd pleaser. And do you have something you go to for a meatless recipe, maybe even a vegan recipe? Do you have a question for our guest about how to take a classic and make it fancier or strip it down and make it easier? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up this Food Friday conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Mark Bittman is with us for Food Friday, talking about his newest cookbook, Dinner for Everyone, 100 Iconic Dishes Made Three Ways, Easy, Vegan, and Perfect for Company. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your go-to recipes, either when time is of the essence or when you got some more time and want to have some crowd pleasers for people coming over? Have you revamped any of your favorites to make them easier or more interesting? And do you have questions for Mark about how to cook in any of these styles? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Find some recipes from Mark over at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll go to your calls now. John is with us in Boaz. John, hello.
Hi. I have a question for Mark. Three ways of making very wholesome chili.
Wow, you want three, you're on the spot. Well, Mark, do you have a good, quick, and easy method for making chili?
Well, I mean, I think, and hi, John, thanks for the question. This wasn't meant to be a test, but fortunately, this is a pretty easy one. I mean, I think the fast way to make chili is to use canned beans and ground beef. The vegan way to make chili is obviously get rid of the beef and use more spices and more chunky vegetables and stuff like that. And then the blowout way is use not ground beef, but brisket or chuck or whatever, and cook that thing for a long, long time.
All right, John, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. A few different ways to tackle chili there. Now, Mark, you've got some fish fry recipes in your book. And you're talking to Wisconsin now. We do.
I get it.
We love our fish fry. What is our quick and easy way to make to replicate that fish fry experience without, you know, a lot of time going into it?
You know, the one thing I'm envious about where you live is that walleye situation.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I want the fast one that we have here is fried squid, calamari with onion rings, and a really quick cocktail sauce. But I'm assuming you're looking at the book. I want you to see how great that photograph is. That is so, like, I'm ready to dive into that right now. Anyway, that fast one is just fried squid. And basically, you flour it, and you make some onion rings, you flour them, and you deep fry that. And that is really 15, 20 minutes. It's not a batter. It's fried with flour. It's very, very light coating and really good. The second one on that, the vegan one, is a mushroom tempura. That, you know, tempura is more of a batter. It's ice water and flour. And in this case, we use a little rice flour also to thicken that up a bit because, let's say, conventional tempura has an egg in it, and we're not using an egg here. And this dipping sauce is sesame seeds and seaweed and soy sauce and mirin, which is sweet sake, basically. And what we're frying are mushroom caps. So it's fried mushroom tempura, basically. Mm. And then the blowout, the best for company is a fish and chips with a beer batter. And, of course, if you have walleye, you're ahead of the game. But that's also kind of I'm not claiming that I'm reinventing the wheel here. This is not an innovative recipe, but a good fish fry, as everyone knows, with a good batter, takes a little bit of time.
Talking to Mark Bittman on this week's edition of Food Friday. His new cookbook we're talking about is called Dinner for Everyone, 100 Iconic Dishes Made Three Ways, Easy, Vegan, or Perfect for Company. We've got those three recipes he just mentioned and three more, actually. So there's the fried calamari and onion rings with cocktail sauce. That's the easy one. Mushroom tempura with orange soy dipping sauce. That's the vegan one. And beer-battered fish and chips with tartar sauce. That's the perfect for company one. He's shared that with us. You can find it over at WPR.org/Food Friday. And still time for you to join in with your questions for Mark at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about making your dishes easier, fancier, or veganer? I don't think that's a word, but more vegan. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. And Mark, you've got, this is not one we have at the website, but I love the approach here. You've got like a sushi roll, right? A fish sushi roll. And the easy one, I was like, how can you hand roll sushi and make it in 20, 30 minutes? You don't, but you've got this kind of mixed tuna dish that replicates the experience a little bit. Can you tell us about that one?
I can. Well, you know, sushi basically refers to the rice, not hand rolls. Mm-hmm. So there's a style of sushi called chirashi sushi, which basically means you take some fish or whatever, it could be vegetables too, and you put it on sushi rice. So this one is spicy tuna, and we're not even using fresh tuna. We're using canned tuna here. So it's basically tuna mixed with unusual, I would say, spices and put on top of really good rice. So that's the fast one. The vegan one in this, the more vegan one in this instance, is rolls, but it's rolls with quinoa instead of rice. And of course, a bunch of different vegetables. And the blowout, the suitable for company, is the kind of sushi, it's my approximation of the kind of sushi you get in a really good restaurant. And it takes some time, and it is, I mean, homemade sushi, I did a piece about this a few years ago. Homemade sushi is so achievable by normal people and so good, and even good without fish. You know, that is to say, if you do homemade sushi with vegetables only, it's very beautiful and really delicious and not hard.
Something I love, that reminds me of something I read in your book. You say don't worry so much about making it look as good as a restaurant or be like you had in the restaurant. And I think, and it's something I think about, I don't worry about making something authentic, whatever that means. Do the thing that works for you at home. Why is it important to just not put ourselves on a restaurant comparison scale?
Well, just think about any chef you've ever seen work. They're doing the same thing over and over and over again. So if you do something, let's say you do your favorite dish 5 times a year, 10 times a year, they're doing the dishes that they know 5 times a day, 10 times a day, maybe 5 times an hour or 10 times an hour. So you're not going to match their skill at speed or at putting it together in an attractive way because they've rehearsed every move and you haven't. So, you know, our job in, as home cooks, our job in the kitchen is to make things taste as good as they can and, you know, make them look appetizing. But our job is not to turn food into art. That's for sure.
Now, another recipe that struck me, you have a couple pizza trios. And I want to just look at the easy one here. You got a basic pepperoni pizza. There's no, we're making our own crust here. There's no yeast involved. How do we get away with that?
You don't need, you know, we're using baking powder instead of yeast. So it's a fast rising and fast mixing dough. It doesn't have the same elasticity as a yeast dough, but at the same time, to make pizza from scratch, including dough, in half an hour, that's fairly impressive, I think.
Yeah, I thought so too. Okay, we can probably tell, all right, this isn't a yeasted pizza crust, I'm guessing, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. It's got, it's very crisp, but it's, let's say, more biscuity than bready.
Let's bring in another caller on now. Deborah is with us in Brown Deer. Deborah, hi.
Hello. I purchased the corned beef last night, and I would like to grill it, and I want some tips because I've had grilled corned beef before, and it was amazing.
Interesting. Hi, Deborah. You still need to braise it before you grill it. You've got to cook it until it's tender, and that's, you know, it is a brisket, so that's going to take a while. But once it's tender, you can do whatever you want with it, and that is either grill it whole or cut it into slices and grill the slices.
Deborah, thanks. Hope that helps. So we're braising that until it's completely cooked and what, just getting a sear on the grill?
That would be my guess.
Okay.
Frankly, I haven't grilled corned beef.
Interesting. All right. Well, let us know how that turns out, Deborah. Give us another call.
Yeah.
We'll go now to Chrissy calling from Chicago. Chrissy, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What do you got for us?
Well, I do a lot of substituting of tofu for feta cheese in recipes like lasagnas or quiches. And I'm just wondering how to make that a little more flavorful.
Right. Okay. Because tofu's going to have basically zero flavor compared to feta cheese, which is going to have a lot of flavor, in my experience, Mark. Any suggestions?
Well, I think, Rob, when you say flavor in this case, you mean salt. I mean,
that's true. Feta salty.
You know, feta is a creamy deliverer of intense hit of salt. So, you know, you might try, I've never done this. You might try brining that. You might try cutting the tofu into feta-sized chunks and soaking it in salt water for an hour or two and seeing if that does what you're looking for.
Interesting. All right, Chrissy, good luck. Let us know how that turns out. Yeah, I'm looking. I just happen to have the page flipped open to a tempeh recipe, a tangy braised tempeh and vegetables. This is in your adobo section. I mean, I'm not knocking tofu, by the way. I use it pretty often, once every couple of weeks, I guess. But they're kind of blank slates, right, tofu and tempeh, that you're going to try to have to add the flavor to.
Well, tofu, yes, because it's really just soy milk coagulated. So it's the mildest cheese. You know, it's as mild as cream cheese, really. But tempeh, no. Tempeh is pretty strong stuff, and it's fermented. It's very nutty. It's got a lot of sourness to it. It's an interesting flavor, and actually not to everyone's liking.
All right, Mark, we've got about 20 seconds. Leave us with a quick pep talk to try something new this weekend, fast or fancy.
I mean, I do think that these fast recipes are all winners, and that once you try them, moving on to the plant-based ones is a really interesting way to go here.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. That's Mark Bittman, food writer and the author of a lot of cookbooks. He was with us today to talk about his latest. It's called Dinner for Everyone, 100 Iconic Dishes Made Three Ways, Easy, Vegan, and Perfect for Company.